Night Begins, Season 5, Episode 5. Mars had gunned the Ducati through the streets of Indraprastha like a speed junkie. But her efforts did not prevent the cartel goons from reaching her destination before her. She knew things had gone pear-shaped when she noticed a lookout at the base of the staircase leading to Guruji's residence. With a swift maneuver, Nas dismounted the motorcycle, propelling it towards the tattooed sentry. His eyes widened in shock, and he attempted to draw his weapon, only to be smashed by the hurtling bike. Drawing her gun, she sprinted towards the stairwell, bracing for a barrage of gunfire to rain down on her. She eyed the staircase to the third floor apartment and spotted scores of thugs armed with bladed weapons who had transformed the route into a nightmarish gauntlet. "Damn it," she muttered, starting her ascent. Nas secured her gun in the shoulder holster and shrugged off her denim motorcycle jacket. She wielded the garment before her as a makeshift shield. Taking a deep breath, she embarked on the climb. The thugs, barring her way, brandished knives and machetes and hurled insults and threats as she advanced. These were local hires, mere foot soldiers for the cartel, equipped only with blades. For the moment, Nas favored her chances. She acknowledged the inevitability of confronting the cartel's elite enforcers. However, she would cross that bridge when she reached it. The stairwell was narrow, forcing the goons to come at her one or two at a time, a tactical advantage she intended to exploit fully. The first of the gundas came at her fast, wielding a rusted machete. Nas's response was instinctive. She yanked the blade free from his grip using her jacket and sent it clattering down the stairs. The goon, surprised and unarmed, barely had time to register his mistake before Nas delivered a punishing elbow to his solar plexus, which sent him sprawling. His accomplice, however, managed to slice Nas's jacket in half as she defended against a powerful blow. She threw the damaged fabric away, ducked underneath his second slash, and grabbed onto his left leg. She dragged him down and to the left, smashing his head against the wall and causing him to lose his balance. Soon, he was rolling down the stairs like a flailing doll. Two more goons appeared, one brandishing a makeshift club, the other a knife gleaming with malice. Nas dipped low, evading the club, feeling its whoosh above her head, only to be confronted by a slashing knife. She caught the knife wielder's wrist and redirected the stab away from her body. She then used her momentum to send him crashing into his club-wielding companion. A series of solid punches from Nas cracked their jaws and put them to sleep. A thug with surprising agility leapt down the stairs, swinging a chain with a weighted end. Nas ducked, feeling the wind from the chain swing. She kicked forward, her boot connected with his knee and crunched his cartilage. The goon's cry was cut short as Nas grabbed the chain, pulling him forward and off balance. She used his own momentum to hurl him down the stairs, where he landed with a terminal thud. Halfway to the third floor, Nas found her path blocked by a trio of goons, their eyes filled with a mix of fear and determination. They had seen what she could do, yet they pressed on, driven by loyalty or fear for their employer's retribution. Nas fainted towards the first, a bluff that drew him forward, then sidestepped, driving her knee into his belly and pulling him down the stairs. She punched the second in his private parts and swept his weak legs from underneath him, sending him crashing face first into the floor. She heard his teeth shattering against the concrete. The third goon managed a swing with his bat, which Nas barely dodged. She retaliated with a swift jab to his throat, stifling his breath and his ability to fight. Breathing heavily, Nas pressed on. The final stretch to the third floor was the most harrowing. The goons, who had formed a barrier of bodies to stop her ascent, attacked in unison. A barrage of fists, feet, and weapons rained down on the professional killer. but Naz was undeterred. She moved through their attack with a grace fueled by the desperate need to reach Rithu before she came to harm. Her movements were a blur as she disarmed one and used his bat as a weapon against the others, breaking bones and smashing in noses. When the bat broke, she managed to twist a wrist and steal a machete which sliced open throats and guts. One thug wounded her arm with a blade, causing a sharp and sudden pain that forced her to drop the machete. Blood seeped down her arm and spilled onto the stairs. She gritted her teeth, using the pain to fuel her resolve. Roaring with fury, she pulled out her beloved hunting knife, which was strapped to the inside of her leg. Her remaining assailants echoed the primal scream and descended on her. Naz combined Muay Thai elbow strikes, delivered at close quarters with deadly knife skills, to leave a pile of bodies at her feet. As she neared the third floor, the two remaining sentries hesitated. Their brethren had underestimated this lone intruder and paid a heavy price for it. But they had no choice but to throw themselves at this deadly warrior. In a final act of defiance, the last two charged. Naz met them head-on. She dodged a knife thrust, grabbed the arm wielding the blade, and broke it. The crack of bone was satisfying, and it painted a smile on her lips. She slammed his elbow, first into his nose and then his throat, effectively destroying his ability to breathe. Then she slammed her blade into the assailant's belly, finishing off the job. Naz successfully disarmed his companion with a vicious palm strike, but he managed to land a blow on the back of her head. She reeled for a few moments as he engaged her in a body lock from behind. Naz's wits flooded back, and she quickly dismantled his unsophisticated grip. She then twisted his arm, swung him around to the front of her, and kneed his jaw. With a swift teep kick, she sent the last goon tumbling down the stairs, leaving him dazed and incapacitated. Standing at the final set of stairs, Naz paused, catching her breath. Her clothes were torn, her body ached, and blood had turned her arms crimson. The staircase behind her was littered with the bodies of those who had underestimated her. But she knew the hardest fight was yet to come. Naz stepped over the threshold, ready to face whatever awaited her. Bullets pinged against the wall behind Naz, compelling her to dive for cover. She drew her gun, only to be besieged by tremors that gripped her hands. In a fleeting glance, she observed them quivering uncontrollably. "No, not now," she whispered desperately, as she executed a tactical roll and opened fire. Her shots veered off target, yet they were enough to drive the assailant, who was firing from the shadowy entrance of Guruji's apartment, back into hiding. Positioned on her back, with her gun still trembling in her hands, she aimed at the doorway. A split second stood between her and death. The gun barrel swayed erratically as she fought to steady her aim. Her breathing grew increasingly panicked. "Do not fail me," she mentally chastised her shaking hands. The cartel thug reappeared, unleashing a barrage of bullets towards her. One whistled past her head, another narrowly missed her leg. Three rounds discharged from Naz's weapon in response to the aggression. One found its target, striking the assailant squarely in the head. "Thank you," she said bitterly. Another gunshot echoed from within the house. Naz leapt up from her position and pressed herself against the side of the doorway.
"The deed is done. You are too late,"
declared the unmistakable voice of Alberto Salazar. She cautiously peered around, identifying him by his signature camouflage pants, only to be forced back by another bullet that whizzed past her head.
"Oh, it's you. I was hoping for the old man," he sneered.
"I'm enough for you, bastard," Naz countered, her voice laden with defiance. Alberto's response was a derisive laugh. "What have you done?" she demanded.
"Come find out,"
he taunted, his voice dripping with malice. As Naz observed her trembling hands, she puzzled over the cause. Was it fear or unbridled anger?
I tortured the old woman before granting her mercy. And as always, I have recorded it for later. But why don't you come for a personal tour? He proposed mockingly.
Fueled by outrage, Naz dashed across the doorway, firing. Her bullet grazed Alberto's shoulder even as his return shot lit up her vision. A sharp pain exploded in her side as she fell to the ground and rolled away to escape further harm. She gasped for air, attempting to mitigate the pain's intensity. Alberto's footsteps approached steadily, his voice taunting her from the shadows.
You missed. I'm guessing I didn't.
Suddenly, another set of footsteps thundered up the stairs, causing Alberto to pause. Guruji emerged, guns blazing. His attack sent fragments of the doorway flying as he charged, heedless of his own safety. Alberto fired back, but he missed.
Shit,
he muttered. The onslaught of Guruji's retaliation forced him into a retreat. He sprinted down the corridor, barely avoiding the vengeful projectiles. He crashed through a window and leaped down onto a parked car. Alberto landed on the Toyota with a bone-jarring thud. He sprawled across the crumpled roof of the car, gasping for breath as pain radiated through his upper body. He knew he had done some serious damage to his shoulder. The cartel enforcer knew he had mere seconds to bail. He was truly pushing his luck. Guruji kept firing from above, while the hitman frantically made his way towards the gate. Guruji cursed, frustrated by his missed shots. His raging anger and concern for Ritu had compromised his aim. A car door slammed shut, and a Mahindra Jeep roared to life, disappearing into the distance. Silence reclaimed the apartment. Struggling to her feet, Naz made her way inside, where Guruji stood by the entrance to a room, presumably where Ritu lay in dire straits. Each step brought reminders of the wounds that ravaged her body. Guruji stared into the room, his breath heavy and his shoulders heaving. Gathering her last reserves of strength, Naz steeled herself and looked. Ritu lay amidst blood and filth, her body decorated with countless knives arranged to form the shape of a skull. A gaping bullet wound formed a red bindi on her forehead. Guruji's voice broke as he instructed,
"Leave. Now."
I... Naz started, her voice trailing off.
"Go hide in a hole and lick your wounds. That's all you're good for."
Guruji's words cut deep. A wave of anger washed over Naz, quickly giving way to a profound sense of failure. "I tried," she began.
"Go!"
Guruji's command echoed, leaving no room for protest. And with that, Naz withdrew, her spirit as wounded as her body.